I missed my cue for coming up to the front. I appreciate so much the song service this morning, and if you listen carefully to the words that we sang together, they're about following Jesus and where he leads me, I will follow, and following in his steps. And I know that they were selected because of the scripture text that we're reading this morning. It's Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose their own soul? What can anyone give in exchange for his soul?" I hope that you will at least be able to remember the main statements that Jesus made in this scripture. They're very important because we are told that we are to go into all the world and to make disciples, and this tells us what it means to be a disciple. This morning's lesson is about the daily discipline that is required in living as a disciple of Jesus Christ. What Jesus tells us here, deny oneself and take up his cross and follow me, is not designed for the clergy or for spiritual elite among disciples. It is designed for every disciple. Jesus repeated these statements several times in his ministry. He even told the large crowd when his popularity was very high and he had thousands following him, he repeated these words. I think he would repeat the words in that context only because he wanted to be sure that those who were listening to him and following him understood what it meant to be a disciple. There are many things we emphasize in today's literature on building churches, but I have yet to find a church that says we're going to build a congregation based on following these rules of discipleship. The church can become so obsessed with numbers that it will emphasize only the frills and the thrills and avoid any straight talk about what it means to be a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus did not promise that discipleship would be cheap. It is demanding and it is costly. Let's look at these three requirements of being a disciple. He says, if anyone would be my disciple, he must deny themselves. Now, denying oneself is not self-hatred. We have trouble enough with people not respecting who they are and being depressed about maybe situations that they cannot change, and people devolving into self-hatred. Jesus never implied that we should have self-hatred or that we should think badly of ourselves. When Jesus says you must deny yourself, it is not self-hatred that he is advocating. It's not necessarily self-deprivation, although that may be part of it. Religious groups at times in the year will emphasize self-deprivation. The Lenten season that comes annually is a time in which people may be encouraged to, for a few months, deprive themselves of something that they truly enjoy. There may be some spiritual benefit and discipline in that, but I don't think Jesus is talking here about self-deprivation. What does it mean? In one word, I think when Jesus says a disciple must deny himself, it means that a disciple renounces any right to live selfishly. He must say no to himself or herself, regardless of how natural those tendencies to cater to self might be. I'm reading a book by Willie Robertson, whose father, Phil Robertson, passed away this last week. And it is not a heavy theological book. It is a very simple book. But it tells a little bit about how the Robertsons have been very evangelistic about their belief in Jesus Christ and have converted so many people in a private setting. And in this book, Willie Robertson says some of the techniques that he has used in reaching people for Christ. He was telling about one very wealthy man that he, of course, came to know when due to their television program, and how he finally reached this man, and this man was baptized out in the rural areas of Louisiana, and he had a lot of his rich friends to come and witness his being baptized. And after he was baptized, he stood up in the water and said, "Well, I'm number one. Who else is going to come?" And 26 people that day were baptized. And I was very interested in what Willie had to say about how he approached people. And he gave me a clue, and I want to pass it along to you today. And it's a place that I have now marked in my Bible. I was familiar with it, but I never saw it in the light that he gave it. Galatians chapter 5. What he says that he does is to have people read chapter 5, beginning with verse 19 through verse 26. And he says to them, these verses describe two different ways of living. Which describes you the best? Let's read these together. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, verse 22 gives an entirely different description of lifestyle. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And he would ask the people, after they read this section, which is descriptive of your own life? You know, when you look at this, you read the first part of it and you're likely to dismiss it from your mind. I mean, idolatry and witchcraft, debauchery, all of these things you think, well, that doesn't apply to me. But you look further into this listing of the lifestyle and there's hatred and discord and jealousy and fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, and you think, well, wait a minute, maybe that does fit my lifestyle. Denying oneself means that you put your own selfish ambitions and selfish desires at bay in order to follow Jesus. A disciple finds that easier to do when he realizes that he belongs to Christ. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. I like the way the Apostle Paul described it in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. Jesus set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Having a seal of ownership placed upon us makes the disciple every day realize to whom he belongs and whom he must serve. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And so we, as a disciple, decide who is our master and to whom do we belong. And because we are bought with his blood, we belong to him, and his seal of ownership is placed on our lives. The second requirement is not... The first is to deny yourself, and the second is to take up your cross. Now, whoever wants to be my disciple must take up his cross. And Luke, who gives this same teaching, adds a word that Matthew omits, and that word is daily. Whoever takes up their cross daily and follow me. What is this cross for you personally, and what is it for me? I've given that a lot of thought this week. What is the cross that I have taken up in order to be a disciple and to follow Jesus? What do we know about taking up the cross? Well, we know one thing, it's voluntary. That means I can decide to do it or I can decide not to do it. It's not going to be thrust upon me or forced upon me. I must do it voluntarily. That immediately takes it out of the things that we sometimes think of crosses to bear. A lot of times when we use that phrase about a cross to bear, we have reference to circumstances that are thrust upon us over which we have no control. But we know that Jesus isn't using that phrase, take up your cross, in that sense, because it is something that a disciple can either take up daily or cannot take up. And so we know that it is voluntary. We know also that it is very personal. It is the disciple's individual choice or cross that must be taken up. I have thought of it in terms of how every disciple takes up the talents and the abilities that he or she has that can be placed at the Savior's disposal. And that's what we must decide whether we will continue to do or not. Frankly, Phil Robertson's TV show was not something that attracted me in interest, but I have admired him for many, many years. One of the reasons that I have admired him and that makes him a special person is that after he became famous through his television program and his family became famous, he never lost that touch that he had before his fame was widespread. His conviction about Jesus Christ and the importance of Jesus in his life was there even after he became very famous, and he could speak of it very plainly and boldly, the same as he did before. One of the things that has most bothered me is I have known people in the church who finally emerged in their professions or occupations or circumstances into becoming either leaders of the community or the state or leaders in their professions. And to the extent that they became well-known and successful from man's viewpoint, their commitment to Christ became less. I have always found that to be very disheartening. And that certainly was not true of Phil Robertson, whose discipleship with Jesus was as bright as it was before he was well known. You know, every one of us is such a unique person, and you have opportunities and you have abilities that no other person has. And I think it is this exactly which is the cross that we take up voluntarily and daily in our lives. From the time that I was baptized, when I was a child, I had a sense that I belonged to Jesus Christ and that I must offer myself and whatever talents I have to his service. I try to remember that. I think I am a trustee. Sometimes in the church we use the word steward. In legal matters we use the word trustee, which may be even plainer for us, but we are a trustee of all that we have and all that we are and all that we can do. I like to think that every week I take up the cross of my time. I'm giving as much time as you are, and you are given as much time as I am. And a certain portion of that time should be devoted to improving and to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so personally, I try to allocate so many hours a week in which I further my mind and understanding and give my thoughts and prayer to the work of Christ and as his disciple. I think that I have been unusually blessed as I never dreamed possible financially. I think it is important for me as a disciple to be generous, and I have thought that when I had my first job as a teenager. For myself, I established that the tithe, which you read about in the Old Testament, would be the very minimum that I would ever consider in sharing what I've been blessed with. And it is the starting place in my life toward giving, because that is my own commitment. And you know, when you think about it, if someone were to say, you give me $10, I'll give you back $100, every one of us would jump at that chance, wouldn't we? And I have never felt that I have deprived myself by being generous, which I want to be, and I think every disciple is. So every day that we have time and we have money and we have the hours to fill. Every day we take up what we are able to do and we accomplish that, and that's following Christ in taking up the cross. And so it is not something necessarily that is thrust upon us that we cannot help but carry, but it's something that we consciously say, this is the cross that I'm going to bear for Christ. Following Jesus. I love the songs that we had this morning, where he leads me, I will follow. And following in his steps, all these great hymns that remind us of what it means to be a disciple. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. I don't understand people who for a while are very faithful to the church and then become unfaithful. I don't understand that. And I hope and pray that I will never outlive my sense of discipleship. And I hope that I will never be ashamed of being a disciple. And not have the courage to let people know that I believe in Jesus Christ and that I try to follow his way. I remind you of the text that I started out from Galatians and ask you to evaluate your life to see if this is characteristic of what your life is like, because it is the trademarks of the disciples' life. Love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the life of a disciple. And we obtain those and we accomplish those when we take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. Well, I hope that you will remember these three steps that Jesus tells us that makes a disciple, because they're very important and it will make a change in your life. We're going to sing an invitation hymn, which is a time in our service for anyone who might want to confess their faith in Christ, to be baptized, or to have prayer with us. If we can assist you in any way, you can come to the front while we stand to sing.